This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. As promised before, we'll be talking, inshaAllah ta'ala, about the names and the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In this program, this program is made of four sessions, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. So we are not going to cover every name. We are not going to cover all the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this halaqa will be, inshaAllah, an introduction to this subject. The second halaqa will be focused on the names of greatness and knowledge. We'll talk about the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So as a theme, we're going to follow a theme. The next halaqa will focus on forgiveness and mercy. And the other one, the last one, will be about His protection and His ability to provide for His servants. Al-rizq wal-inayah al-ilahiyya. So we focus on these themes. We're not going to cover every name. We know that there are people like to know about the 99 names. We'll talk about them today, inshaAllah ta'ala. I believe this is a better way to deal with the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because we want to know their effect in our life. You know, when we talk about His mercy and forgiveness, we're basically talking about our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as the most forgiving, the most merciful. And the most important thing is, the fruits and the benefits that we, inshaAllah, generate by studying this branch of knowledge. So I would like to start with the ayah in Surah Al-A'raf, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَادْعُوهُ بِهَا وَذَرُوا الَّذِينَ يُلْحِدُونَ فِي أَسْمَائِهِ سَيُجْزَوْنَ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. So this ayah is composed of three parts. The first part, it says, to Allah belong the most beautiful names. So invoke Him by them. This is the first part. The second part, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, وَذَرُوا الَّذِينَ يُلْحِدُونَ فِي أَسْمَائِهِ, which means leave the company of those who practice deviation concerning His names. This is one explanation, one interpretation of this ayah. The second interpretation, it says it might mean give warning to those who practice deviation concerning His names, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the second part of the ayah. And then at the end, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, سَيُجْزَوْنَ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ, they will be recompensed for what they have been doing. The reason of revelation, of revealing this ayah in Surah Al-A'raf 180, Al-Imam Al-Qurtubi told us about the sabab al-tanzeel, the reason of revelation. He said there was a Muslim in Mecca who was making dua, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim. So one of the mushriks of Mecca, who is a polytheist, a non-Muslim, among the people of Mecca, was listening to him. So he said, أَلَيْسَ يَزْعُمُ مُحَمَّدٌ وَأَصْحَابُهُ أَنَّهُمْ يَعْبُدُونَ رَبًّا وَاحِدًا فَمَا بَالُ هَذَا الرَّجُلِ يَدْعُو رَبَّيْنِ اثْنَيْنِ فَكَّرْ فِي الرَّحْمَنِ يَخْتَلِفْ عَنِ الرَّحِيمِ. So he said, isn't it that Muhammad, this man who was listening to this Muslim making dua, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, he mentioned two names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he said, isn't it that Muhammad and his companions are claiming that they worship only one God? So why is this man calling on two gods? He looked at the Rahman as one God and Ar-Rahim a second God. So that was a revelation, or the sabab al-nuzul, yani the sabab, the reason Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this ayah. What do we benefit from this ayah? Number one, that to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala belong the most beautiful names and attributes. And it is our duty to affirm what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has affirmed to Himself, for Himself, in the Quran and the Sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is number one. Number two, we need to use these names in our supplications. If you want to empower your dua, if you want to make wasila, and this is one of the best, actually the best wasila, is to use his names and attributes in your dua. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taught us how to use his names. In the Quran, مثلا, there are many du'as, many supplications that included some of his beautiful names. مثلاً في سورة البقرة, ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم. Our Lord, accept from us, verily you are the all-hearing, the all-knowing. In سورة آل عمران, ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. Allah is teaching us how to use his names at the ends of every du'a. Which means here, this dua means in Surah Al-An'am, رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِغْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا. This is a very important dua. Oh Allah, do not let our hearts deviate. بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا, after you have guided us. وَهَبْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً, and grant us from yourself mercy. Verily you are the bestower. The bestower of what? Al-Wahhab. The bestower of bounties, the bestower of knowledge, the bestower of rahmah, of guidance, and so on and so forth. مثلاً الله سبحانه وتعالى told his messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم وَقُلْ رَبِّ اغْفِرْ وَارْحَمْ وَأَنْتَ خَيْرُ الرَّاحِمِينَ. This is a beautiful end here. وَقُلْ, يعني he's teaching his messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, his servant, وَقُلْ, say رَبِّ اغْفِرْ وَارْحَمْ, oh Allah forgive me, my Lord forgive me and have mercy on me. وَأَنْتَ خَيْرُ الرَّاحِمِينَ, verily you are the best of those who show mercy. And some ulama, they said actually the du'as that Rasulullah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught his messenger to say are better than the ones that the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself, you know, made. Because there are du'as that are in the Quran. Allah taught him to say this du'a. وَقُلْ رَبِّ زِدْنِي عِلْمًا. Oh Allah, increase me in knowledge. This is an instruction coming from Allah to his messenger. So some ulama, they said actually these du'a are better than the other du'as that were made by Rasulullah ﷺ himself. يعني they are not in the Quran. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must be choosing for his messenger the best of all du'as and supplications. And this is a good point. Number three, and how to benefit from this ayah, or what we, the ulama, they said, we need to stay away from the methods of those who practice deviation concerning his names. So that means we have to affirm what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has affirmed for himself, or to himself, without tahrif. Tahrif, distortion. يعني to change the name, like مثلا the people of Mecca or the kuffar of Mecca before, during the pre-Islamic era, they got from al-ali, al-ilah, al-lat. So al-lat is a name that they have given to one of their idols. But they got it from al-ilah, is a distortion of the word al-ilah, the god. They got some knowledge about some names, you know, but they used to believe they are their ancestors. They were people of Tawheed. They were the descendants of Ibrahim alayhi salam and Ismail, their descendants. So they got some knowledge from them. But they used to profess shirk. They used to practice shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they got some names here. Al-Aziz, for example. They got from Al-Aziz Al-Uzza. They used to play with this name. So Al-Aziz, in one of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they got Al-Uzza. This is a sort of distortion here. And they used to call one of their idols Al-Uzza. Al-Mannan, from Al-Mannan, they got Manat. One of their idols used to be called Manat. So this is a sort of distortion. So as a result, we are not allowed to come to one of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and change it. You don't. You can't not change it. You have to use it as it is. This is number one. They said without ta'til. Ta'til means negating the names or their meanings. Like we had some groups in the Islamic history. They used to practice philosophy and everything. And they tried to, they thought that they are very smart. Smarter than the rest of the Muslims. And they said Allah is sami' without sam'. That Allah, yes, he called himself a Sami', the all-hearing, but he doesn't have the ability of hearing. Because if we affirm to him the attribute of hearing, then we would be comparing him with his creation. And this is a very silly argument. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. There is nothing that could be compared to him. So yes, he has the ability or attribute of hearing, but his hearing is different than our hearing. It's very simple. So this, you know, this argument is very wrong. It's wrong. Because they ended up denying the meanings of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number three, they said without tamthil or tashbih, claiming similarity between al-khaliq wa al-makhluq. And of course the proof is the same, laysa kamithlihi shay, there is none comparable to him subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is an ayah, famous ayah in Surah al-Shura. Another way of deviation, they said, is to name Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with names he did not name himself with. Like مثلا, the philosophers, they call him al-illa al-fa'ila, the effective cause. Some people like to call Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala muhandis al-kawn, the engineer of this universe. These names are not found in the Quran or the Sunnah, so don't call him the engineer of the universe. Yes, when you talk about his actions, they said the ulama, they said the area of discussing the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is more flexible than giving him specific names. Which means, مثلا, you could say, I am amazed with the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the beauty of his creation, the power of his creation, I'm amazed. But you cannot call him the amazing one, Al-Ajib, because this name is not found in the Quran and the Sunnah of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when talking, we have more flexibility when we talk about, when we describe, if you want to describe the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you have the freedom to use, of course, good meanings. They have to be authentic. Talking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, discussing His power, discussing His knowledge, His ability, you have more freedom here. But when it comes to giving Him names, then you have to be careful, because they said the ulama and al-asma'u tawqifiyya. Ma ma'na tawqifiyya? They are to be taken from a textual proof. They have to be taken from the Quran or from the Sunnah of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How many names does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have? There are two opinions. The first opinion, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has only 99 names. And this opinion was attributed to Al-Allama Ibn Hazm Al-Andalusi, rahmatullahi alayhi. He's the only one, I think, to the best of my knowledge, who said Allah has only 99 names. And of course, he used the famous hadith, which says, لِلَّهِ تِسْعَةٌ وَتِسْعُونَ إِسْمًا مَنْ أَحْصَاهَا أَوْ مَنْ حَفِظَهَا دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ. هذا الحديث صحيح, موجود في البخاري وموجود في it's authentic and it is found in صحيح البخاري and صحيح مسلم and some other books of hadith. But this hadith has an extension. We'll talk about it in Sunan al-Tirmidhi and some other sources of hadith. This hadith has an extension, a list of these 99 names. So the first part of the hadith is authentic. There is no doubt about it, that Rasulullah ﷺ told us this hadith, that to Allah, Allah has 99 names. Whoever preserves them, that he will enter paradise. Whoever preserves them will enter paradise. من أحصاها دخل الجنة, من حفظها دخل الجنة. But the list, because in Sunan al-Tirmidhi, for example, they mention this hadith, and then they say, هو الله الملك القدوس الرحمن الرحيم, and they start listing the names, right? This list is not authentic, to be honest with you. And it's very popular, unfortunately, this list, and it is found, it was printed in posters, and there are many Muslims actually who wrote these names in their masajid. So this list is not authentic. But the first part of the hadith is authentic. There is no doubt about it in Sahih Muslim. Now, Imam Ibn Hazm, as I said, used this proof as to say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has only 99 names. Now the ulama, the rest of the ulama, Imam al-Nawawi, for example, claims that there is a scholarly consensus that the ulama are agreed upon, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has more than 99 names, and this is the right opinion. This is the right opinion. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has more than 99 names. One of their famous proofs is the famous hadith in Sahih in Musnad al-Imam Ahmad, Ibn Hibban al-Hakim, in which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, ما من مسلم يصيبه غم ولهم. There is no Muslim who is afflicted with sorrow and sadness, and says, اللهم إني عبدك وابن عبدك وابن أمتك ناصيتي بيدك ماض في حكمك عدل في قضاءك أسألك بكل اسم هو لك سميت به نفسك. It's a long dua, but I'll mention it. أسألك بكل اسم هو لك سميت به نفسك أو أنزلته في كتابك أو علمته أحدا من خلقك أو استأثرت به في علم الغيب عندك أن تجعل القرآن العظيم ربيع قلبي وجلاء حزني وذهاب همي وغمي إلا أذهب الله همه وغمه. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, whoever, any Muslim who is afflicted with sadness and with sorrows, with sorrow, with grief, and says this dua, Allahumma inni abduk, oh Allah, I'm your servant. Ibn abdik, the son of your male servant. Ibn amatik, the son of you and the son of your female servant. Nasiyati biyadik, my forehead is in your hand. Maldin fiya hukmuk, your judgment upon me or about me is past. Adlun fiya qadauk, your decree or decision upon me is just. So he's going through some difficulty, some hardship, but he's not putting the blame on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's affirming and declaring that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah's decree is just, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not doing injustice to him. Right? As'aluka, here is the proof. As'aluka bikulli ismin huwa laka sammayta bihi nafsak. I ask you with every name that you have named yourself with, أو أنزلته في كتابك, or you have revealed in your book. It could be the Quran or all the books that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed to His prophets and messengers. أو علمته أحدا من خلقك, or you have taught one of your creation. أو استأثرت به في علم الغيب عندك, or you have preserved in the knowledge of the unseen with you. This is the proof here. The ulama said this part of this dua is a proof that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has some names that He preserved with Him in the knowledge of the unseen. This is their proof that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has other names we don't have access to, we don't know them. So this is a proof that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has more than 99 names. أن تجعل القرآن ربيع قلبي, to make the Quran. So asking Allah, you are asking Allah to make the Quran the spring of your heart. ونور صدري, and the light of my chest. وذهاب همي أو جلاء حزني, the departure of my grief. ذهاب همي وحزني, the removal of my sadness and sorrow. He said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I mean, if you want to memorize this dua, this is a famous dua. He said, if someone says it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will relieve his hardship and will remove his sadness and sorrow. But the proof here is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has preserved some of his names with him in the knowledge of the unseen, and we don't know about them. Now, what is the meaning of the first hadith that Imam Ibn Hazm used to say that Allah has only 99 names? The meaning is that these 99 names have this quality, that if we preserve them, and we will know the meaning of preserving them, then we will enter Jannah bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Like, مثلا, you say, I have in my hand $100 that I set for charity. I kept for charity. Does it mean that you have only $100? It doesn't mean that. Everyone knows that you don't mean that. You don't mean you have only $100. You meant that you have $100 in your pocket now, or in your hand, that you have dedicated, you have kept for charity. But everyone knows that you have a bank account, and you could have thousands or millions in your bank account. But you're talking about this $100. So Rasulullah is talking about this 99 names. They have this quality that if Muslims preserve them, and we will know the meaning of preserving them, then they will enter paradise because of this virtue, because of the virtues of these names or the excellence of these names. It doesn't mean that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has only 99 names, but that was the understanding of Al-Imam ibn Hazm. But majority of scholars, overwhelming majority, believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or the number of these names, is not limited to 99. Now, what is the meaning of Ahsaha or Hafidhaha, preserve them? How do we preserve them? Al-Imam al-Nawawi said that this phrase means that to preserve them is to count them, enumerate them. And here there is a problem, because as I said, there are some good scholars, trustworthy scholars whom we trust, they came up with a list. But still, there are good scholars, other scholars who have a different opinion, and they disagreed on some names. Yani some of them included some names, like Al-Badi', for example. Al-Badi', the originator. Not everyone, every scholar agrees that it is one of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-Badi', the originator. Even though the meaning is there in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Badi'u as-samawati wal-ard. He's the one who originated the heavens and the earth, right? But there are some good scholars who believe that Al-Badi' is not one of his names, or Al-Maqsood, or Al-Baqi, or Al-Jaleel, right? So, but most of the names are clearly mentioned in the Quran, like Al-Aziz, Al-Hakim, Al-Alim, Al-Salam, Al-Quddus, Al-Jabbar. These names are Al-Sami' Al-Basir. These names are clearly mentioned in the Quran. They are around maybe 80, 81, and they are agreed upon by all the scholars. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. So they said to enumerate them, to count them, you have to know them. And the best, I think, the best source is the Quran, the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the sunnah of his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But number one is the Quran. If you are familiar with the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you become familiar with his names that were clearly mentioned in the Quran. To use them in one supplication. So don't forget to use them in your supplications, like the way the Quran taught us to use some of his beautiful names we mentioned today. Ar-Rahman, we mentioned Al-Ghafoor, or Al-Sami' Al-Alim, Al-Wahhab, those names, those beautiful names, use them. To affirm their meanings. So to affirm their meanings, you need to at least to have an idea about their meanings. What does Al-Sami' mean? What does Al-Jabbar mean? What does Al-Aziz mean? So you have to have at least a basic idea about the meanings of the names, and you affirm them. You affirm their meanings without any distortion, without any negation, without any tashbih. And they said, number three, Al-Imam al-Nawawi, he said to act by them, or act according their implications and their knowledge. So you got some knowledge from these names. You know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you get a good idea about his knowledge, the vastness of his knowledge. That he knows every single thing that you are doing, he knows what is in your heart. You act upon this knowledge. Try to be careful about what you say, what you do. So when you do this, believing, keeping in mind that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is listening to what you say, you become more careful about what you say and what you do in your life. And, you know, there are many, names that you can act upon their beautiful meanings. You know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Ar-Rahman. And he loves mercy, and he loves the people of mercy, and he will have mercy on the people who showed others mercy. Then what if you try to show kindness and mercy to your family members, to your friends, to your neighbors? Treat them with mercy, because you know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most merciful, and he loves the quality of mercy, and so on and so forth. Now, what are the benefits of knowing these names, Ya Ikhwan? What are the benefits of knowing? The ulama, they said, those who increase their knowledge about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will end up increasing their iman, increasing their faith. And this is obvious. They will be blessed with the ni'mah, or with the firmness of faith, with the firmness of yaqeen, certainty. Because their knowledge, they were able to expand their knowledge about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. they know more about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so automatically, or as a result, their iman will be increased. And they shall be protected against what the feelings of uncertainty. There are many of our young people nowadays who are struggling with their faith. They're going through what is called faith crisis. So the more you increase your knowledge about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will be bi-idhnillah protected against those feelings of uncertainty that could be caused by matters of doubt and deceptions or misconceptions, shubuhat. They said when this knowledge is firmly established in the heart, it will most likely produce fear and love and of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one you can love and fear at the same time. Right? If you are afraid of someone else, usually you run away from them, right? You don't want to meet them. You don't want to talk to them. Yeah? If you are afraid of someone else, if you don't trust them, because you don't. You don't trust them. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you fear Him, and you love Him at the same time, and you trust Him at the same time. But how can you love someone if you don't know them, if you know nothing about them? You can't. You can't claim that you love someone in this life and you have no knowledge about him. You don't know, you know nothing about him, you know his name. But can you love someone, you just know his name? His name is Muhammad or Ahmed. To love someone, you know, you need to know about his qualities, right? He's righteous, he's just, he's doing some work in the community. He's famous for some things that he's doing, right? And then the more you know about him, you love him, right? And you respect him, you show more respect to him, to this person, because you have more information about this person. وَلِلَّهِ الْمَثَلُ الْأَعْلَى. And to Allah belongs to the highest description. So we can compare with our attitude towards each other. I would like to mention some stories here. And they are very important, they are very significant. I was listening to one of the Muslim scholars, and he was talking about his experience in Hajj. He was young, he's in jail now. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala relieve his hardship in Egypt. He was talking about his experience in Hajj when he was young. He was in Arafah, he ended up in a tent with a group of Muslims. And there was a Muslim brother who was serving people in that tent, serving them, especially the elders. And they were happy with his service, with his kindness. Very happy, and especially the elders, they started asking him to give me this and help me with this and do this. He said he was in that tent, and everyone was happy with, as I said, with the kindness and humbleness of this man. Until, after a few hours, someone came into the tent. And he exclaimed, he was surprised, and he made a very surprising statement about that man. He said, فَخَامَةَ الرَّئِيسِ يَا مَرْحَبًا. His Excellency, His Eminence, the President, oh welcome, what a beautiful day. So the people were surprised and were shocked. It turned out that this man was an ex-president of a Muslim country, at least for 1 year, from 1985 to 1986. So I'll give you some information about this man. He was the ex-president of Sudan. I used to know about his name, but I never paid attention to the work that this man did until he died last October 2018. He was buried in Medina, in the city of Medina. He was the ex-field marshal Abdurrahman Siwar al-Dhahab, the ex-president of Sudan from 1985 to 1986. And he was, before becoming the president, he was appointed as a chief of staff and the minister of defense in 1984 in Sudan. And the general commander of the armed forces in 1984. He's the only president, and this is, I can confirm this, the only president in the Arab world who fulfilled his promise. After some unrest, kind of civil war, he got power, he became the president, and he promised to surrender power to an elected government. And this is what he did. After 1 year, he surrendered power to an elected government in 1986. But what did he do after he resigned? In 1987, he became the chairman of the Islamic Call Organization, a big da'wah organization in Africa. And this actually, this organization was able to establish many projects in Africa. In 2004, he received the prize of Faisal, of King Faisal from Saudi Arabia. They gave him a prize for his efforts of da'wah. So that this man was has some goodness in his heart. And then when I heard this news, like I used to hear his name, but I never paid attention to his achievements. And then when I heard about the news that he passed away in October, last October 2018, this year, I was searching and I was listening to Sheikh Omar Abdel Kafi. He's a TV personality, a sheikh that gives, is well known in the Arab world. And he was talking about his akhlaq. He said, you know, this man was amazing, was very humble. But the point here, ya akhwan, regarding our lesson and topic tonight, what happened is the main lesson here is the reaction of people after they got more information about this man. They started saying, "Mush mumkin, you can't do that. You can't." And they start treating him in a different way. They started actually serving him. There was a complete change in behavior after they got more information about this man. This is the point. Now they look at him differently, in a different way. He's not this humble man trying to help the elders in the tent. He's now the ex-president of Sudan. So they started treating him in a different way after they discovered his real identity. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy on him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy on him. Rahimahullah. There was another story, similar story, that was mentioned by Sheikh Ali Tantawi. I read it a long time ago in one of his books. I don't remember the book now, but I remember the story very well. And this happened when Iraq was a kingdom. Iraq was became a republic in the 50s. But before that, it was a kingdom. So Iraq had kings. And at that time, of course, in the beginning of the 20th century or the end of the 19th century, life was very simple. People didn't have TV, didn't have, you know, this means of communication. So they didn't know each other. There was a fisherman or someone who would transport people from one area to one area with his boat in a river. And beside that river, there was a palace. And every night, there was one man who would sit down in the balcony of that palace, and this fisherman would come to that area for some rest or some other business. And these two people started talking to each other, the guy who sits in the balcony and the fisherman. And they started talking and chatting with each other until they were able to develop some sort of friendship. So he thought, the fisherman, that this man is someone who works in the palace. And then they developed this sort of friendship, right? One day, the man in the palace called his friend to the garden, come to the garden of this palace. And they were chatting with each other and having good time, but this man was sick. So they decided to go back to the palace through the main gate. And this man from the palace was, as I said, sick, so his friend allowed him to lean on his shoulder. And they were going through the main gate. When they reached the main gate, the guards shouted, "Open the gate for the king!" And the man was shocked, and he described his story that his knees were shaking. Story is different now. He's not someone who works in the palace, he's the king himself. And he said, you know, Sheikh Ali Taltawi in his story, he said the two people or the two men kept talking to each other. But the fisherman, he said, life was different. Yani, discussion was different. It became more formal. I had to agree with everything he says. And our relationship became totally different. Now, why? What's the difference, Ikhwan? He got more knowledge about this man. He thought that he was talking to a regular man from the palace, someone working in the palace. Now he discovered that he was talking to the king himself. He got more knowledge about his friend now. His attitude became different. The way he treated him is different now. Everything is different. وَلِلَّهِ الْمَثَلُ الْأَعْلَىٰ And to Allah belongs to the highest description. So we should understand these stories, Ya Akhwan, but at the same time, try to apply them to this subject. The more we know about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more we fear Him, the more we love Him, the more we come to place, to fully place our trust on Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, what is the meaning of the name Allah? The name Allah, the ulama said that is the chief among all the names, which means that all the other names are attributed to this name. That's why we say Allah la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyu al-qayyum, huwa Allahu al-khaliq al-bari al-musawwir. So all the other names are attributed to this name. And the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is unique, which means no one can use it for himself. No one can name someone else with it. And it was only given to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even, I mean, if you study the history of idol worshipping and paganism, you don't find that any idol was named Allah. Or any planet or any star, it was named Allah in the history of humanity. So, some scholars say that the meaning of the name of Allah is a contraction of Al-Ilah. Al-Ilah means the God. And they said the Arabs like to smooth out the pronunciation of some word, so they deleted Al-Hamza and it becomes Allah. Allah is coming from Al-Ilah, which means the God, the one who was worshipped. Al-Ilah in Arabic language, Ilah, the word Ilah, is anything, any deity that was worshipped with truth or falsehood. Because we have Aliha that was worshipped, they were worshipped deities, were worshipped with falsehood, without any right, right? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one who was worshipped with truth. So there are some ulama who said this is the origin of the name Allah. Others have a claim that it is a proper name, not derived from anything. And Imam Ibn al-Qayyim, he said this disagreement is not important. He said it's not important. Everyone knows, Arabs and non-Arabs, even the Christians, Arab Christians, the Jewish Arab, Arabs, all of them, the name use the name Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their books, and the name, they use the name Allah, the Arabic name Allah, when they communicate with their God, which is the same God, the creator of the heavens and the earth. Right? So he said, everyone knows that Allah is the name of the creator of the heavens and the earth, so this disagreement is not really important. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. Now, there are some problems with these names. These names, the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of the bid'ah, one of the innovations, is that we find in some websites people telling you that if you recite this name 400 times, Allah will expand your risk, increase your risk. If you recite this name every day 100 times, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will secure your worries. If you recite this name 300 times, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make you smart. If you recite this name 300 times every day, then this and this will happen to you. All these things, Ya Ikhwan, are lies. There is no proof that supports these claims. There's no proof whatsoever. So we have to be careful about these things. The other problem is there are some people who exaggerate also the things that, among the things that I have seen. One time we received some masahif here in the office, and these are masahifs were printed some in one Muslim country. So in one side you find the list of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the other side of the book, of the Mus'haf, They try to come with the same number of names attributed to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The different meanings, but this is not nice at all. There is no one who says, there is no hadith that says that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has 99 names. So why try to come up with this new arrangement, try to attribute to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, our prophet, we love him and respect him, but there is nothing in Sharia that says that he has 99 names like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you try to print a mushaf that has 99 names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the beginning, and then 99 names attributed to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam at the end of the mushaf. We should stay away from these things, ya ikhwan. And I'm sure there are many things that we do with these names. Writing them in the masajid is not something, it's not a good idea. We're not supposed to decorate the masajid. We're supposed to know these names, know their meanings, and act upon the knowledge that could be derived from these names. Like in Calgary here, we have a problem. In a gym, we have these names. And the kids are playing with basketball and playing soccer and everything, and I'm sure they will be hitting these names with the ball time to time. And you talk to people, they said, no, that's okay. I mean, we just want to give some Islamic image, you know, to the place. So anyway, so there are things that we do with these names that are not right. This is my introduction for this halaqah, inshallah. And next time, bi'idhnillah, we're going to focus on the names of knowledge and greatness, bi'idhnillah. We're going to focus on the theme of knowledge and greatness. Try to know more about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Jazakumullahu khairan. Subhanakallahu hamdik. Shahadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa natubu ilayka.